Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Every day is to be a day of thanksgiving for the people of God. And Harry is exactly right in saying that. Those of us who are God's people, it isn't necessary for us to have a day marked on the calendar every November when we will think about and give thanks to God for all of the mercies that He's given to us. And yet with the subject of thanksgiving obviously before us, as we observe a National Day of Thanksgiving tomorrow, and that's my favorite holiday. In fact, it's the only legitimate one as far as the Scriptures are concerned, to give thanks to God. And with that in mind, I want to talk to you this evening about giving thanks for God's unspeakable gift. But I want to start here in the third chapter of this great book of Ecclesiastes. Let me just read a verse to you, and that's the 13th verse. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. These are what we might refer to as those provisions that God gives us every day, temporal provisions. And this the wise man says, eat and drink joyfully. As you remember, these things are a gift of God. It is ever the right thing to be thankful and to give thanks to God for everything. You remember in Romans, the first chapter, when the apostle spoke of the iniquities that bring forth the wrath of God. One of those right at the very top of the list is, he says, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. Everything God gives us is to be received with thanksgiving. Oh, what mercies God gives us day by day. And I'll talk about the spiritual mercies, but I'm just talking about the physical mercies right now. Don't you acknowledge that God has, He's given you abundantly above everything you could ask or think? The Lord gives to us daily. He gives us our food. He gives us our drink. He gives us our families. He gives us our friends. He gives us of those things that we enjoy every day. They just keep on coming. And you know, you think about those who aren't thankful, they still keep coming to them as well. Those that use the daily mercies of God and who never acknowledge who the giver is, yet they'll find when the sun comes up in the morning, there'll still be temporal mercies given of the Lord. Oh, how faithful our God is. How good our God is to give us the things that we enjoy. And I say, if it is written, he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully, then surely The Lord who sows daily mercies bountifully should daily reap bountiful thanksgiving. Let's be a thankful people. Even more thankful than we are. But we realize that these mercies that He gives us every day are not compared with the spiritual gifts, the blessings which He gives in the Lord Jesus. Look over with me to John chapter 6. Look in John chapter 6. As I thought about the spiritual mercies and blessings that God gives to us, I thought of this one. That His thanks be unto God that He gave us to His Son. We're God's gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When we begin to think of the gifts of God, let's remember that we're God's gift to His Son. I know that there is a sense in which everybody and everything has been given to the Lord Jesus. That is, that He would have the government over everybody and over everything. Everybody is subject to the authority of the Lord Jesus. He's been given all power, all authority over everybody and over everything. But this is speaking of God's election of us unto salvation in the Lord Jesus. God gave us as a gift to His Son. He put us in His hands as His seed, as His bride, as His sheep, as His inheritance, and as His portion. We were given to Him to be saved by Him with an everlasting salvation, to be His people forever. Oh, what loving kindness this is on the Father's part. What grace and condescension on the Son's part to receive us as a gift from the Father and to save us by His substitutionary death and provide for us everything that will take us in everlasting glory. We're God's gift to His Son, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the gifts God's given us. But I'm also thankful we were God's gift to His Son. Back there in old eternity, God fixed His love on us. He made us His choice. This is due to grace and grace alone. God said, I'll have these to be my people. He gave us to His Son in love and in mercy. You'll notice here in the 37th verse, it says, all that the Father giveth me, giveth. Whenever you see that E-T-H at the end of a word, it's something that keeps on going. It is continual. It never ends. As I thought about that today, I believe by this we're given to understand the unchangeableness of the grace of God. He's not going to change on this. God will never go back on His word. He gave us to His Son, and this is something that nobody can ever undo. We're God's gift to His Son. Nobody ever can reverse what God has done. Nobody can ever nullify what God has done. We're God's gift to his son. Look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Notice what the apostle says here regarding giving thanks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says in verse 13, "But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you." For you, brethren, beloved. Beloved. God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He says, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God took delight in us. He loved us. So we give thanks to God, he says, for you. We don't thank you for believing. We don't thank you. You don't thank me. We thank God that we belong to him. This is all due to his grace. No wonder David said in Psalm 65 and verse 4, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness, with the goodness of thy house, even of thy temple." Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Are you a believer? Do you rest in the Lord Jesus? You're blessed. You're blessed in that God chose you. He gave you as a gift to his son for safekeeping. And you know what? He's kept you safe throughout all of these years and years you've been alive. And he'll keep you safe unto eternity. Blessed is the man that thou choosest. And therefore he causes us to approach unto the Lord. Let me give you another one. Look at Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6. I'm sure you know this verse very well. Verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Here's the first part. "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. By sin is meant every sin. Original sin, actual sin, every kind of sin. What is sin? It's the transgression of God's law. And the death which results from this is physical death, the destruction of the body. There is spiritual death, the destruction or the loss of life of the soul. And then if God isn't merciful, there is everlasting death, the unending separation of the body and the soul from the Lord. You know, you read the words of the scriptures and you think, well, I know what these words mean. Outside of today, I look up the word wages. Wages. I discovered this. The word wages means a soldier's wage or pay for a year. Or until the fight is over, the battle is over, or the war is over. In these last few verses of Romans chapter 6, in the context, sin is a very cruel king. It's a ruthless monarch. It is a heartless master. And sinners, we're his vassals. We're his servants. We're his soldiers. And here is the wage that he pays to his soldiers after a lifetime of service. Death. Death. And all who are the servants of sin will someday receive from sin its cruel wages when your servitude is over. Death. Death. That's why James says in James 1 and 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Death. The wages of sin. Those wages we've been accumulating throughout the campaign, throughout our life, is death. And isn't it amazing that we love sin by nature? We love everything that is opposed to God. We embrace it. But in embracing it, we're embracing death. That's what sin has done to us. It's left us absolutely foolish. We call good evil, and we call evil good. We're so distorted. We're so messed up. And that's what sin has done for us. Oh, children of God, despise sin. And marvel at that which was necessary to remove it from us. Even the death of the Lord Jesus. Notice what he says in the end of the verse. But the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Well, it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God freely gives eternal life to his people. And in this life, there is spiritual life. In this life, there is everlasting life. There's spiritual life in that there's regeneration. There is the new birth. Those of us who are dead in trespasses and sins, he's quickened us. We have life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual life is through the Savior. We also have this eternal life, which is a knowledge of God. Isn't that what the Savior said in John chapter 17? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is everlasting life. It's a life that will never end, that will never cease, that will never run out, that will never be taken away from us. Because he says, I give my sheep eternal life. They'll never perish. And then, in my Bible, just look right across the page. Thanks be unto God for the gift of righteousness by grace. Look at Romans 5 and 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that is Adam, many be dead, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, doesn't cost you anything, is of many offenses unto justification. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Did you know righteousness is a gift? We don't have it. We're void of righteousness. In fact, everything about us is unrighteousness. Isaiah says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind, they've taken us away. Our righteousness is rotten and filthy. We've got to have a righteousness, but we can't merit it. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. Thank God, it's a free gift. It's a gift of His grace. Let's keep on reading. Look at verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That is, everybody Adam represented died. Everybody our Lord Jesus represented, we live. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, you can read that verse 12. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, or literally the many that he represented were legally considered to be sinners. Hey, you became a sinner by doing nothing. That's right. You were born a sinner. You became a sinner through representation, through imputation. That's how you became guilty. And I know we're not only guilty of sin by imputation, but also by practice. But firstly, by imputation and by representation. Even so, by the obedience of one shall many be made or legally considered to be righteous, justified. That's our Lord Jesus. He was obedient unto death. How far did that obedience extend? How far did it go? All the way to death, even the death of the cross. That's why Paul writes in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We're given the gift of righteousness by grace. What does God demand? Righteousness. Will He settle for anything less? No. Well, where are we going to get this righteousness from since we can't produce it? We get it from the Lord, our righteousness, even Christ Himself. His righteousness established by His death. It's freely given to us, reckoned to our account. And then thanks be unto God for the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 5. Look back up to verse 5. Verse 5. He says, and a hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The Savior often referred to the gift of the Holy Spirit as being the promise of the Father. In Ephesians 1:13, it says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. John 7:39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. God has given us the gift of His Spirit. But His Spirit is given for this reason. redemption has taken place. Reconciliation has already happened. Our Lord Jesus has already been glorified. It says there in John, the Spirit wasn't given because the Lord Jesus wasn't yet glorified. He died. He was buried. He arose again. He bore the sins of all of His people. That's His glory. Redemption is His glory. Upon the basis of the Lord Jesus being glorified, God has given to us the gift of His Spirit. And oh, what a precious gift. Remember the Savior said to His disciples, I'll give you another comforter. Another comforter, that is, one like unto myself, to be with us. He convicts us. He convinces us. He guides us. He abides with us. He indwells with us. The Romans chapter 8 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We're led by the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit. That's the life of God in us. The Spirit. Thanks be unto God for His Spirit. And you know what His Spirit does? He gives us gifts. He gives us a new heart. That's what it says, Ezekiel 36:26. God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. That is a sensitive heart. Who does that? There was a time in your life you weren't sensitive to sin. You weren't sensitive to the things of God. You weren't sensitive to the Lord Jesus and His glory or His blood or His righteousness. But now you are. Who gave you that sensitivity? The Spirit of God did. He took away the hard heart. He gave you a heart of flesh. It's alive. The heart is alive. It's like the quick underneath your nails. You can cut off the end of your nails, but if you get too deep, you draw blood, you get into the quick. You get into that which is alive. The Spirit has quickened us. He's made us alive. Alive. And He gives us the gift of faith. Our brother read to us this past Lord's Day in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Thank God for the gift of faith. For you see, not all men have faith. That's what Paul says. Everybody doesn't have faith. Everybody doesn't believe this gospel. You were talking about somebody who's very sincere and very religious, as sincere as any of the rest of us here tonight, maybe more so. But God's got to give faith. He's got to give faith. And He doesn't have to do that. That's left up to His sovereign will. Thank God He grants us faith. And then go to this one. This is where I'll spend the last few moments of this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sure you know that in this chapter, the great apostle Paul is stirring up the Corinthians to liberality in giving. He is encouraging these Corinthian believers to give liberally for the Jerusalem church, which was in poverty. And the motivation that he uses for liberality is simply this. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He doesn't set before them rules, laws, regulation. He doesn't say if you don't tithe, God will get it at the doctor's office. He doesn't say if you do tithe, there'll be rewards waiting on you in heaven. There's no legality involved in this motivation whatsoever. The motivation is, look at what God has given to you. He's given to you the greatest gift he could ever give. The gift, the unspeakable gift, the indescribable gift of his Son. That's the motivation. You see, the gospel of God's grace is founded upon giving. And its spirit is always giving. The gospel is not about you giving to God. The gospel is about God giving to you. It's more blessed to give and receive. And the most blessed one of all is our God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His is a gift that you can't estimate its value, the value of the Lord Jesus. You see, let men give liberally of their money, as we ought to the cause of the gospel, and as we want to, and as we do. Yet, whatever you give, it can be tallied up. It can be added up. You can always reckon the worth of the gifts of men. But the gift of God's Son to us is a gift you can never put a value on. You don't know how valuable it is. You only know this. It's an unspeakable gift. Unspeakably glorious. After all, God gave him as a covenant to his people. He gave him to be the head of the church. He gave him to be the savior of sinners. He gave him to be the sacrifice who would die in the room and the stead of those that he gave to his Son in the covenant of grace. What a free gift. The gift of God's Son. Consider him as being the unspeakable gift. He's unspeakable in his person. Perfect man. All glorious God. No tongue of seraph or cherub can ever describe the full nature of him whose name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the bread of life. He said this, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. He's unspeakable in his person. He's unspeakable in his condescension. Nobody can measure how great the stoop was for God to leave his throne above, to leave all of heaven, and all of the glories, all the praise of the angels, and come down here to this cursed world. Who can ever estimate the greatness of that? The infant of days, the infinite of days becomes an infant. The ancient of days becomes a baby. The maker, the sustainer of all things, he came to this world, didn't have place lay his head. He's unspeakable in his condescension. And he's unspeakable in his offices. He's the prophet. Never a man spake like this man. He is the priest who offered to God the sacrifice that put away the sins of his people. He is the king, for he is the prince of the kings of the earth. Who can ever estimate the value of his death? What did it cost him to save us? His life. His life. He said, greater love hath no man than this. A man lay down his life for his friends. His blood is unspeakable, for it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel, it spoke of revenge. And God said concerning the one who killed him, Cain, God said to everybody, leave him alone. He's mine. I'll get him. Abel's blood cried out for revenge. The blood of the Lord Jesus, it cries out, redeemed. Redeemed. Reconciled. Righteousness brought in. That's what the blood of Christ cries out. We've been purchased by his blood. Acts 20:28. We have propitiation by his blood, Romans 3:25. We've been justified by his blood, Romans 5:9. We have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. We're sanctified through his blood, Hebrews 13:12. We're ransomed by his blood, 1 Peter 1:18-19. We're set free from sin by his blood, Revelation 1:5. We've been brought nigh to God by his blood, Ephesians 2:13. We have peace with God through his blood, Colossians 1:20. And his resurrection is unspeakable. He's at the right hand of God. And his universal reign is unspeakable. He governs all things to fulfill his Father's eternal purpose and do his people good. Give thanks to God. Not just tomorrow, but every day. Give thanks to God for all of these spiritual blessings. As I was thinking about this message, I just wrote down here in my notes, thanks be unto God for all of you, for my church family, people I can worship with, people who love me, people I love. Thank God for the peace that we have, for the unity that we have, for the oneness that we have in the bond of the Spirit. No wonder the apostle says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for his unspeakable gift. May the Lord bless these few words to your hearts and to his glory. Let's sing thanks, O God, or thank you, Lord, number 221. Number 221. You know the chorus well.